Welcome to the sermon podcast of First Alliance Church in Lexington, Kentucky. The sermon you're about to hear, Hope for the Weary, was preached by our lead pastor, Paul Smith, on 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 to 18. It was recorded on February 13th, 2022, and is part of our series, Finding Hope.
If you have a copy of the scriptures, go to 1 Kings chapter 19. And I don't know if First Alliance is your home church, but make sure you have a church that teaches and preaches the scriptures faithfully. We want to get the Bible into our lives every Sunday, and we want to get the Bible into our lives every day, because this is how God speaks to us. This is how we hear his heart and his will for our lives. And no matter who's up here on Sunday, you should know a little bit better how to read the Bible for yourself, because we want to equip you to do that. And we're in a series called Finding Hope. Finding Hope. And we're talking about biblical hope. And biblical hope is different than just wishful thinking. Like we wish and we hope that the Bengals win the Super Bowl. Who's with me? Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, very okay. Yeah, we want that to happen, but there is this kind of like wait and see dynamic about it. Biblical hope is the following: to trust in, to wait for, to expect a better future. It's a sense of a confidence that God knows my situation, God keeps his promises, God is good towards his children, and he is righteous and good in heart. And I know that he has good things for me, and I know that he hears me, and I can trust him in this. This sense of confidence in God. Well, it's biblical hope for people who are in four unique circumstances. Hope for the anxious, hope for the weary, which is today, hope for the empty, and hope for the defeated. And today we're going to focus on the one which I think would hit all of us because of the last couple years, hope for the weary, hope specifically for the spiritually weary. In an interview, Jen Gamble, a young mother of two, said this: because of the weight of the past 2 years, I have found myself not eating, not sleeping, and wondering how I will keep going. The last 2 years have been difficult on all of us, and they have gotten us pretty weary. Weary means a lack of strength, a lack of endurance, a lack of vigor, limiting one's patience, tolerance, and ability to keep going. But the question I have for you is this: have you ever considered you might be spiritually weary? We know the feeling of being physically weary. Could you tell if you were spiritually weary? Could you tell if somebody else was spiritually weary? Do you know the severity of being spiritually weary? I ask you this because no one is exempt from it. I have a friend, his name is Lenny Lucetti. He goes by Dr. Lenny Lucetti, and we did some graduate work together. He's a good friend of mine, and he was very candid about the experience of being spiritually weary and the effects of it on our lives. He says, I was secretly spiritually weary. Most people would have known me as a seminary professor, a pastor, two pastors, a published author in demand, and an in-demand speaker for clergy and church events. But deep down in my soul, where only God could see, I was struggling with spiritual stagnation and spiritual weariness for years, yet looking really good. Praying, reading the Bible, and communing with other Christians seemed more appalling than appealing to me, like a root canal and a colonoscopy. He didn't need to say that, but he said it. And I was in big trouble, and I didn't care. What's worse, I didn't care that I didn't care. For the first time in my life, I was spiritually weary, a weariness that was causing a slow drift from the divine. Ever since entering into friendship with God through Christ at the age of 18, my heartbeat for him has been strong. I thrived in a loving relationship with Christ for decades. He had lifted me up and I'd never looked back, but not now. There was no joy in my salvation. I was in my early 40s and experiencing this spiritual weariness. And the spiritual weariness was more about what I didn't want than what I wanted. I lost my appetite for scripture. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to be with people, especially happy-go-lucky types of people who knew the joy of the Lord. I didn't want to counsel. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to teach or write. And most days, all I wanted to do was to stay in bed, watch reruns of Law and Order, Criminal Minds on really bad days, Downton Abbey. and I almost forgot. As a recovering alcoholic, my desire for my old pal alcohol was welling up for me in these days more intense than ever. And I'm ashamed to admit it that I spent more time fantasizing about beer than the goodness of God's grace. I had never been so tempted spiritually as during my times of spiritual weariness. We must take it seriously. The hardest part of being spiritually weary is the loneliness, is the isolation. Who could handle my junk? Who could handle me not living up to my image? Who could handle my struggle? I was more concerned about losing my job as a seminary professor and my respect as a Christian leader than I was about losing my soul. I was in trouble and I knew it. Frankly, spiritual weariness is the hardest experience I'd ever been through. And you might be here this morning. Spiritual weariness is something we need to take very seriously, because I don't know if we're ever tempted spiritually as when we're spiritually weary, but there is hope, great hope in the Gospels. To those of you who are spiritually weary, Jesus issues an invitation. An invitation. It is one of the great passages in all of Scripture that come from Jesus that let us know that he's different. He's not like anything you've ever met before. To we who are spiritually weary, he says in Matthew 11, come to me, all who are what? Weary. Come to me. And all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, and I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. He's a burden lifter. He's a welcomer to the weary. Now, there's two things to all of you who are weary of trying of self-salvation, trying to save yourselves. It doesn't work. The gospel is that we've sinned in sight of God. We can't save ourselves, that we need a savior. And Jesus is that savior. He says, come to me. Know the joy of my salvation that I want to give. By faith in Christ and Christ alone are we saved. And if you don't know that, I would love to talk to you this morning. And then there's the weary who are just living life apart from God's leading and God's love. He says, be yoked with me. It means team up with me, walk with me. Live your day with me by the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the scripture. Yoke your lives with me. And when you're yoked up with me, I'm always stronger. I'm always wiser. And I'm always enough. And I'm always with you. You see, here's the kind of the sermon in a sentence. Your weariness qualifies you to come to Jesus. He doesn't say to all who get their act together, to all who find strength, to all who kind of are the top 50%. No, your weariness qualifies you to come to Jesus. And at the very end of we'll have two songs at the end, and then John will give you a kind of a benediction and an invitation. At that end, an invitation after John, I want you to come to Jesus, and as the worship team, either in your seat or here at the altar. But we're going to look at how God gives strength to the spiritually weary to a man in the Old Testament. And you will see the connection with Jesus' invitation along with the story. And specifically, this man is Elijah the prophet. And I put it like this: seeing God's hope for the weary through the life of Elijah, because God strengthens Elijah and God will strengthen you through Christ. But the principles are the same, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Chris Hodges, in his book on Elijah, says this: God met the weary Elijah right where he was. Rather than rebuke the prophet, the Lord invited Elijah to step forward and embark on a divinely appointed mission with a renewed sense of purpose and strength. And that can happen to you today. Now, chapter 19 is a chapter that comes after 18. Ta-da! But there are probably no two more contrasting passages in the Bible. You see, in chapter 18, there's this dramatic event where the prophet Elijah calls out the prophets of Baal, and he says, let's see if your God is the true God, because the nation of Israel was on the fence. Do we worship Yahweh or do we worship Baal? Because Baal is pretty impressive. And he calls the prophets out, 450 of them. He says, see if you can call down fire from heaven to start this sacrifice without fire. And so 450 prophets do it. They call out, they cut themselves. Nothing works. I mean, it's embarrassing for them. And then Elijah, he actually has water put on the altar, and then he calls out to God, and fire does come down from heaven. There it is. Burns up the altar. It's a dramatic event. And they had been without rain for 3 years, and all of a sudden rain, Elijah prays, and rain comes. He makes rain come. And so they get their horses, and they go after to find this rain, and it says at the very end of chapter 18 that Elijah, the power of the Lord comes on him, and he outraces the horses. The power of God was around him and also inside of him. Now, that's chapter 18. It's one of the most dramatic chapters in the Bible. Now, chapter 19 is very different. Chapter 19, if it was to be put in a picture, it would look like this. He doesn't want to go on. And that's life. And God meets us there. Let's look at what God says to Elijah in chapter 19. And now Ahab told Jezebel, and I'll read this chapter in its entirety, and I'll give you some principles along the way, and then we'll button it up with Jesus at the end. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, and how he'd killed all the prophets with the sword, and Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. Verse 3. Elijah was what? Afraid. Aren't you glad that's in there? He was afraid. We are saved. We're not superhuman. We will fear. We will feel fear. And Elijah takes it to God. And he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a bloom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might what? Die. These are the words of the ones who are spiritually weary. I have had enough, Lord. If you've ever prayed that prayer, those are the prayers of the spiritually weary. I have had enough. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under a tree and fall asleep. Let's stop there. Let me give you the first two principles. First principle is this: be aware of your vulnerability after the big event. 18 is a powerful, powerful movement of God. Elijah's very vulnerable. He's exhausted. It doesn't have to be bad things. It can be very good things. God could answer a prayer. God could come through. You could be celebrating. You'd be aware of the spiritual vulnerability after the big event. It could even be a wedding, a graduation, passing a test, but also vulnerable after the negative, the passing of a loved one, the losing of a job. The events of the past 2 years. I've had more people after first service say, I've had a weariness, a spiritual weariness in my life that in the past 2 years that I've never experienced before. And I believe all of us, because of all the changing and all that's happened and all the pressures, be aware of the vulnerability after the big event. Here's the next one. You might be experiencing spiritual warfare. At its core, this is spiritual warfare. This is God being God against the perceived other gods. And this is a word in the New Testament called philipsis. And what it is, it's a physical pressure that we feel in our bodies when there's spiritual battles going on. That there's a pressure and a struggle that we will feel, and we feel it in our bodies when the war is going on in the heavenlies. That's why the Bible says, put on the full armor of what? God. Every day, because in the spiritual world, the battle doesn't stop. We don't pencil it in on our day timer. It's always going on. And so we put on our armor every day. You picking up your armor? Are you remembering the spiritual battle that you're in, Christian? There's hope. Look at what it says. And pick up middle of verse 5. All of a sudden, an angel appears. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." And he looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread and hot coals and a jar of water. And he ate and he drank and he lay down again. And the angel came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and nights. What was in that food? And until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into the cave and spent the night. The phrase, "Get up and eat, the journey is too much for you." I have a gift for you. Receive the gift of limits. Receive the gift of limits. It's okay to say, that's it. In fact, you'll see that when Elijah receives the gift of limits, he's ready to receive Elisha to come alongside him. He receives an immense camaraderie. I have a drawing on my wall in my office. It's a bigger box and then a box within the box. And that outer box represents me at my limits, full bore, 100%. If I live there, I'm toast. I can be there for a while, but I will crash. I have before. The box inside of it means that I could live at my limits, but I don't. I choose to live by abiding, and I choose to live by the Spirit. And when I pull that in, there's boundaries that are created, and there's room for God to break in. And I can go the long haul. But it brought me to a point where I had to say, okay, I've got to receive the gift of limits. I can't do everything. Next one. He takes a nap. He has a meal. He rests. He slows down. Remember the Sabbath. All the things that he does here are Sabbath-like activities. Coming away from it. Getting rest. Away from the battle. Our president of our denomination, John Stumbo, who will be here the first Sunday evening in March, he is vigorous about a Sabbath once a week, if not every once and a half weeks in his life. Here's why. He did some studying about it in graduate work. And number one, he says, God says, remember about the Sabbath, keep it holy. It's sacred. It's sacred. Secondly, the thing he remembered, and this is most impactful, when God communicates the Sabbath to the nation of Israel, he says to the nation of Israel, remember the Sabbath because I am not like your Egyptian slave drivers. The Egyptian slave drivers made the Egyptians work 7 days a week. And if you work 7 days a week, what he's saying to the nation of Israel, you're communicating to the ongoing world, I'm a slave driver, just like the Egyptians. And I am not. I am a loving father. Resting in your Father's love, believing that God will can accomplish more in 6 days than us in 7 days, is you communicating to the world, my Father is a loving God, and I can rest and relax knowing that he knows all things at all times, and he is not a slave driver. He's a loving Father. Give each other time to take Give each other permission to take extra time for soul care. Heather, this is in essence what Elijah's doing here. He's stopping, pulling away from the battle, and the angel comes, feeds him, takes care of him. Eventually, God will come and speak to him. Do you feel like you can give yourself permission to take time for your soul? It's the most important thing you can do. You maybe need to give a spouse or a child permission to say, hey, take time for yourself. My wife and I have a rhythm that with two kids in the home, when I know that she's going to her Bible study and prayer, I get up and I make sure that things are tended to in the home. And when I go to Bible study and prayer, she gets up and she does what needs to be done. Sometimes it's a lot, sometimes it's very little, but we have this rhythm to where we say the most important thing about your day is when you connect with Jesus. We help each other out in this because the world is battling against us. Not thinking that our souls need to be attended to, and they do so desperately. Give each other permission to take time for your soul. So let's pick up Elijah. Just to let you know, at the very end, look at what he says here in verse 9. And there he went into the cave and spent the night. Now his body is strengthened, but he's in a cave, which means his soul is not. He's still scared. He's still not strong on the inside. And when it comes to your soul, only God can strengthen it. A restaurant can feed your body, but only God can strengthen your soul. Look at what God does. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? And God's asking this for his sake, not God's sake. God knows this, not God. God knows everything. And he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. And I am the only one left, and they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said, go out and stand in the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered, and the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the what? Wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there came a fire, but the Lord was not in the what? Fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And Elijah heard it, and he pulled his cloak over his face because this gentle whisper was powerful, and went and stood at the mouth of the cave. And the voice of the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, and how the grammar is different here. It's in essence, he goes from anger the first time he responds to a sense of softness the second time. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant and broken down your altars and put your prophets to death with a sword, and I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me too. Now he thinks he's the only one left, but God says a series of events. And look at what God says, verse 18. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and all whose mouths have not kissed him. Let's stop there. God asks, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And then at the very end of verse 18, he says, you're not the only one left. Just know that from the bigger perspective, know that I've reserved 7,000. You're not the only one. Let me kind of bring, I use the word perspective. Find a source to give you perspective. Lenny Lucetti says he was isolated. And when he was in isolation, his spiritual weariness didn't grow stronger. In fact, it grew strong. It didn't go away. In fact, it grew stronger. But if you kind of continue his writings, this is one of the things that renewed his strength is when he was honest about his struggle and his weariness, and he let others speak into his life, and his strength was restored. Find a source to give you perspective on whatever you're going through. The gift of God is the gift of other people and helping you process whatever it is. This stage of life, that struggle, this issue. Find somebody to help you give you perspective. Next, be aware of your self-talk. Rarely in the Bible are things communicated twice verbatim. But when God asks Elijah, what are you doing here? He says the same thing twice word for word, which means he knows this script really well. What's your self-talk? No one cares. I'm the only one. I'm all alone. Left to ourselves and left to isolation, I believe our self-talk does go glass half full. And I believe in the scriptures and through the power of the Holy Spirit, there is this sense of, nope, I always have hope in God that comes back. But what's your self-talk? What's your self-talk that you're telling yourself that may not be true about God and his work in the world? Here's the next one. God's message wasn't in the earthquake, and it wasn't in the wind, and it wasn't in the fire. It was in the what? Whisper. And only those who are still will be able to hear the whisper. And isn't it interesting how God says, and in this text, And the fire, and after the fire came a gentle whisper. And this is where I believe the gentle Jesus met Elijah. For come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am what? Gentle and humble in heart. And I believe the gentleman Jesus breaks into Elijah's life. And only when we are still are we able to hear the gentle whisper of Jesus in our lives. Now, why is this passage so important? You see, chapter 18 is so dramatic and so powerful that Elijah might be prone to think that this is how God's going to work through me. This is what God does. Big, overwhelming, you know, over the top. And God says, no. I'm not going to just work that way. There are times for that. But there's other times when you need me to be, and I need to be tender. And I will be tender to your soul. I can be powerful, and I can also be very tender. Dr. Rob Reamer says this, there are some things that God will not accomplish with power, but with his tenderness over time. And for some of us in this hard-charging world and this world that has restarted and this world that all of a sudden has kept kind of sucked us into a pace that is way too fast, the invitation from God is to receive from him only what he can give in silence and taking time, which is the tender love of Jesus and his whisper over your life, which says, come to me. Now, this happens in a moment and just in a text, but my mind went through Psalm 23. Which is the gentle Jesus leading his sheep. And can we read this together? Let's read this together if you can read it. The Lord is my what? Shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I emphasize the word walk, and here's why. I don't want to walk through the valley. I want to run through it, get it over as fast as I can, learn the lessons, and move on. I've got things to do. But even though we, what, walk through it, not airlifted out of it, there are lessons in the valley of weariness that we can only learn there. For you are with me. If you're there this morning, I want to let you know it's okay. Because to those who are spiritually weary, Jesus issues an invitation. And it's an invitation to learn his gentleness and his heart and his provision and his presence and his love for you and compassion for you and his delight in you, even when you're not at your best. Because it doesn't matter, because he is. And he loves you. He loves you, and he wants you to know him. And so Jesus says this, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Light. This is the gospel. Let's stand together, and worship team, would you come? We're going to sing two songs that are joyful regarding the power of God in our lives. And then John will come and give us the benediction, and at that time, invite us to the altar for prayer. And at that time, the prayer team will come. Jesus, we thank you that you are gentle and humble, and you meet us and you invite us. We want to be found faithful, and we know that we have to connect with you first, and then we are able to connect with others. You love us, and you created us to know you. And in this we rejoice, and the church said together, amen.
Thanks for listening. Here at First Alliance Church, we love God, love others, and live fully engaged in Christ's Great Commission, starting in Lexington, Kentucky. To learn more about our church or to hear other sermons like this one, visit us at faclex.com.